And now it's Wednesday, time for our weekly visit with the political junkie.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
But I'm the decider. Ah!
Top Democrats meet with the president on Iraq war funding. The attorney general readies for that grilling tomorrow at the hands of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Several states get ready to elect a new governor this year, including post-Katrina Louisiana, which just lost one of its top candidates. And Monday's tragedy at Virginia Tech renews calls for gun control in Congress. As always, we have our resident political junkie at the ready. If you have questions about the showdown over Iraq war funding, the run-up to elections this year and in 2008, or renewed calls for and against gun control, give us a call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. Ken Rudin is with us here in Studio 3A. He's NPR's political editor, when not doubling as the author of the political column on npr.org, also known as the political junkie. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil.
And as we speak, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, are sitting down at the White House with the president for what the White House insists is not a negotiation over Iraq war funding, but a conversation about it.
Right. Both sides seem to be pretty entrenched in what they plan to do on this. This is the $100 billion appropriations bill on Iraq funding, but the Democrats, both the House and Senate, have passed differing bills that call for a timetable. The House says that all U.S. troops should be out by September 1st, 2008. There's a non-binding language in that Senate bill that says that troops should be out by March of 2008. Once the House and Senate reconciles its differences, then that bill apparently will be sent to President Bush, where he promises to veto it.
And that's apparently scheduled to happen next week.
Well, certainly in the next couple of weeks, 2 weeks. I think ultimately neither side seems to be backing down, but there is a new rumor going around today that ultimately that the Congress may pass, the Democrats may agree to the Senate language, which calls for a non-binding timetable. And it's questionable whether the president will veto that, although he still says that anything that has that language of a withdrawal or timetable gets vetoed.
Here's an email right to this point from Steve in Placerville, Colorado. I asked this, he says, only half-kiddingly. Why doesn't President Bush do the same thing with the Congressional War Funding Bill that he's done with so many other bills, sign it, attach a signing statement saying he doesn't have to abide by a withdrawal timetable?
Well, this is that's a very kind of a fun question. But, I mean, and given the fact that he has only vetoed one piece of legislation on stem cell research throughout his entire presidency. The president could do that, but ultimately he feels very, very strongly that such language would tie his hands and he's not going to have any part of it.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on now to the showdown that's coming up in the Senate Judiciary Committee tomorrow, and that's Alberto Gonzalez. Is he testifying for his job tomorrow?
Well, there are some people who say that may be already too late for that. He has said, as you acknowledged, that that mistakes were made in the firings of U.S. attorneys. He's giving varying and differing and interpretations of what he's done. He said that, you know, he had no say and it was not part of the conversations about the dismissal of the U.S. attorneys. We now find out that that's not true. He says politics did not play a part of that, and that we find out that's not true. And so there are not only there are many Democrats who say that Alberto Gonzalez's longevity in this job is not there.
Republicans, dead man walking is the phrase we hear.
We have heard that, but we've heard Republicans saying it's time for him to go too. And we've also heard from U.S. attorneys who have not lost their jobs saying they've lost confidence in the Attorney General as well. So ultimately, yes, he is fighting for his job and fighting for his life. But the guess is that he is not long for this position.
Mm-hmm. And one of his top aides who previously said she would not testify fearing a perjury trap was being set by the Judiciary Committee now says now it looks like the House Judiciary Committee may issue, give her blanket immunity that would force her to testify.
That's exactly right. And, of course, that's another thing hanging over the Gonzalez future.
Mm. Of course, our top story this week is the devastating incident at Virginia Tech. That renewed calls for gun control legislation, and it's an issue that hits very close to home for Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy. She represents Long Island's 4th Congressional District in New York, and she joins us now on the phone from her office here in Washington. And Congresswoman McCarthy, very good of you to be with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And many of our listeners might remember back to December 1993, what's remembered as the Long Island Railroad Massacre. A gunman shot and killed 6 passengers, including your husband, Dennis. Your son was also injured, though he survived the shooting. Every time this kind of thing happens, it must be very difficult for you.
It is difficult, mainly because for those few seconds when you first hear about it, it brings you back to that moment when you heard that your loved one had been shot and killed and that your son was fighting for his life. So my heart goes out to all the victims and to the families, and their journey is just starting.
How's your son doing?
Kevin is doing well. He still needs physical therapy a couple of times a week, but he's gone on with his life. He's still partially paralyzed, but with that, he's met a wonderful young woman, and I have two grandchildren. So, you know, out of all that tragedy, you know, I truly have been blessed that my son did survive.
Mm-hmm. You were then elected to Congress. I think it's fair to say your first campaign was very fundamentally based on the issue of gun control.
It was totally based on gun control. And trying to certainly reduce the gun violence that's in this country. It's a pledge I made to my son that I would try to prevent whatever I could do so another family would not have to go through what we on the Long Island Railroad went through.
And do you, well, since then, we've had, of course, many sad incidents at Columbine and now this most recent incident at Virginia Tech. Do you now foresee that there will be a renewed push for gun control?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's not going to be gun control. You know, I certainly dislike that particular terminology. Basically, what I've been pushing for is gun safety issues. You know, the debate on the Second Amendment rights and everything else like that, I mean, everything gets lost on what you're trying to do. I have a bill which is called the NICS background check system. And if that bill had been enacted, it did pass here in the House almost 3 years ago. And we had it through committee last year, but, of course, we ran out of time again. But with that being said, the person that did the shooting on Monday, from what I understand now, is having, you know, he had a background of mental illness. This particular bill could have possibly prevented him from buying guns. The other issue is on the assault weapons ban, large capacity clips were banned. And, again, the shooter on Monday was able to legally buy these large capacity clips, and it's something that he would have been prevented from doing. And so maybe some lives would have been saved or not, you know, snuffed out or injured. So there are things that we can do that basically, you know, I feel very strongly the American people are way ahead of Congress. They, you know, are all for trying to make more gun safety laws so that we can bring down the amount of people that are killed every single year.
Hmm. Let's see if we can get a caller on the line. This is Rosemary. Rosemary is calling us from Princeton, New Jersey.
You know, I want to underscore what the speaker has just said and ask Ken Rudin if he feels there's a major disconnect between the president coming out the day of the shooting, you know, saying that he doesn't feel guns should be controlled, and the Democrats, Charles Rangold is the person I can think of, but there have been others, rushing to say that, again, that they don't want to take up gun control right now. And what, as your speaker just acknowledges, the voters want, from where I sit, it's extremely distressing to hear a whole program which you just had, a whole segment, as interesting as it was, mm-hmm. about the psychology of you know, violent-related acts and how, you know, we need to, people calling in and saying, oh, maybe we should screen students, on and on and on. When the problem really is that these very deadly weapons are easily available, and until we deal with that issue, you know, dealing with the psychology is putting I wouldn't say a Band-Aid, but it is it's not going to be that helpful if we're talking about the ultimate result being 32 innocent people shot to death. I have relatives in Europe who I talked to this morning who said, you know, you as Americans look completely crazy.
Yeah.
You have this deadly war in Iraq, you're killing yourselves, and the response to this by your government is, we really don't want to deal with the issue of gun control. So is there a disconnect here? Because as a voter, I can tell you, it seems like we're talking about the wrong issue.
Ken Rudin?
Well, I'm fascinated by this whole conversation. Obviously, I was also fascinated by Congresswoman McCarthy's point that that we're not talking about gun control, we're talking about gun safety. And that's a kind of a switch for Democrats in the past, because in the past, Republicans were always known as the gun rights party. We saw after the 1993 and 1994 passing of assault weapons ban and the Brady gun bill, the NRA really flexed its muscles and defeated a lot of Democrats and took over Congress in 1994.
But you know, I would like to debate on that, because I personally feel that's slightly a myth.
I think it is a myth, too, because there's a lot of reasons why Democrats went down in 1994.
Mainly the tax increases.
Right, is that too, and the health care debacle, that too.
Absolutely.
But there's also one thing that is not indisputable, and that is the results in 2006 One of the reasons why Democrats took control of the Senate in 2006 was because of people like John Tester of Montana, who is pro-gun, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, who is pro-gun, Jim Webb of Virginia, who is pro-gun. Look at the new Democrats who were elected in the South or rural districts in Indiana, Kansas, North Carolina. They were pro-gun.
I will agree with you that they do happen to be pro-gun, but they all ran on the Iraqi war.
Right. No, that's absolutely true. But what I'm saying is that there is a mindset among Democrats that they are fearful that every time they raise this issue, they're going to get shot down. That's not a pun, of course, but brought down on this issue. We saw John Kerry, instead of standing up in 2004, we saw him hunting in Ohio to show that his hunting bona fides were legitimate. So the Democrats have always shown, you know, you always have a tragedy like this, and there are some people who stand up and say, this has got to stop, we've got to stand up, and then ultimately Democrats just turn and run the other way.
And to be fair to Congressman Rangel, he didn't say he was opposed to this legislation, he just said he didn't think it could pass. Is he right, Congresswoman McCarthy?
And by the way, unfortunately, the clip that they did show, I mean, if anybody, you know, because we did pull it up right away to see the whole context of the story, and what was he was talking about was that he didn't understand, you know, why people tolerated the kind of gun violence that we see in this country. But with that, he said, but I do understand that it is a cultural thing. It does have to do with, people in the South and the Midwest that have a love affair with guns. So what unfortunately went on TV was really totally a misquote on his part. So with that being said, though, you know, you have to also look at, I've been using the word gun safety since I first came to Congress. It's not a new term for me. It's something that I believe in. It's something that I feel that I look at. Before I ever came to Congress, I was a nurse, and I worked in the intensive care unit, and I have spent over 30 years in nursing. And my job here in Congress is, in my opinion, the same. My job is to try to protect people and save their lives. And even in nursing, when I couldn't save someone's life, because it was their time to go, that didn't stop me from continuing to work. And I feel the same way on the gun violence that we see in our country. People are insensitized to it, and that's the shame of it. And then when you have a horrific incident like we had on Monday with the massacre, people stand up, and it's not something they think about every day. I do. They don't. But if you took the American people as a whole, and if they would lift their voices up and say enough is enough, I think you would see a lot more congresspeople standing up to do the right thing. And I believe that with all my heart and soul. I know my fellow congresspeople. They would love to vote with me on a number of my issues. They are afraid to because the NRA will come out and say, hey, you just lost your election. And they will do everything possible to make sure that member is not reelected. Now, they have not been successful, believe it or not, in the last couple of elections. We have actually won, even with people that are, you know, on the right side. Or I don't even want to say it's the right side or the wrong side. What I'd like to say is, why can't we have a different dialogue and figure out how are we going to bring down the 30,000 deaths a year? How are we going to bring down the $200 billion worth of health care to those that survive gun violence?
Rosemary,
that should be the debate.
Rosemary, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Congresswoman Carolyn McCarthy and, of course, with political junkie Ken Rudin. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Congresswoman McCarthy said that perhaps Charles Rangel was misquoted, but let me give you a quote from Harry Reid, the leader of the Democratic Party, who said, I hope there's no rush to do anything. We need to take a deep breath. This is the leader of the Democratic Party in the Senate.
Listen, I agree with you. I mean, I've been having a number of discussions with Nancy Pelosi, my leader, and she will be talking to Harry Reid. And hopefully a piece of my legislation is going to be able to get here through the House and through the Senate. That's the part that we're negotiating now. Harry Reid, since that statement was made this morning, is looking at it. The whole problem is that we need to keep it as a clean bill. So on either side, and I'm talking about certainly my progressive Democrats, and then I'm talking about my right-wing Republicans, that we don't mess this up and we end up getting nothing. That is going to be my goal, and that will be my challenge.
Now let's see if we get one more caller on the line. This is Daniel. Daniel with us from Windsor, Vermont.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of comments and questions.
We have just time for just one comment or one question. Go ahead.
just want to know why people, as soon as a tragedy like this occurs, why do they all of a sudden jump on the banning firearms? It's not firearms that kill people. It's people who kill people.
I'd like to answer that because every single week I get up on the House floor and I talk about gun violence in this country. I don't wait for a tragedy that happened on Monday. Every living moment that I'm here in Congress, I'm trying to find ways that can save people's lives. So it's not a tragedy that makes me speak out. I speak out. You can watch C-SPAN on a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night, and you will most likely see me talking about gun violence in this country. But there are a lot of things that we can do as far as cutting down gun violence without the right of you owning a gun or you being able to go hunting. I am not after those particular guns.
Daniel, I'm afraid we're out of time, but thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. And Congresswoman McCarthy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Anytime.
Carolyn McCarthy represents the 4th Congressional District of New York. That's on Long Island. Also with us, Ken, we didn't get to a lot of other issues, but clearly people wanted to talk about this gun issue. So we'll get to those governor races. I don't think there's an election until actually November, is there?
It's coming up pretty soon.
Political junkie Ken Rudin. You can read his column at our website, npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land. And take over this beautiful land. And take over this beautiful land.